I am so honored to introduce to everybody a good friend of mine, one of our Adirondack Company team members, and somebody who I've recently had the honor to work with closely. We have a weekly accountability call that I really look forward to. Christy Daniels, she's an emerging authority on women and self-worth. Her mission revolutionizes how women relate to themselves. She's a self-fulfillment mentor, facilitator, speaker, and author. Christy helps women sever their unconscious ties to self-sacrifice, deprivation, and undervaluing of self. Women begin to realize that they are enough, they are worthy, and they already have the skills they need to lead healthier, happier lives. In many cases, they've just been showering those skills and their focus on everyone else, but not themselves. And Christy helps women return their focus and priority back onto themselves, and the results seem magical. As women begin to shine, everyone around them lights up as well. Christy's background includes extensive research, mentoring, and coursework with women, an international interview series, and her personal experience in untangling and aligning her own life. Combined, these give her a unique and powerful perspective on women and the positive impact that prioritizing themselves can have in their lives. Christy is a contributing author, if I can get this thing to work, of the book Courage to Fly and the Adirondack Company blog, as well as a regular guest speaker at Unity Center for Conscious Living. She will soon be featured, as in a couple minutes from now, on Visionaries in Light Radio, and she'll be one of our speakers at the Visionaries in Light Convergence. She's the founder of the You First Movement and leads an 8-week course in self-fulfillment. Her new book, Sabbatical from Saying Yes, 30 Days to Self-Full Living, is due out soon. You can find out more about Christy at ChristyDaniels.com. And Christy, are you there with me?
I'm here, Joy.
Yay! It's nice to hear your voice. Welcome. Welcome.
Thank you.
Now that you're on this side of the docket instead of the other side, huh?
Yes, a definite difference.
Same headset, though, right?
Yes.
just a different hat.
Different hat,
so Christy,
yes. I don't have the controls.
That's right. Christy, we get to spend so much time with you on the other side, but we don't know a lot about your first movement that you're creating here. Can you dive in and tell us a little bit about that and the history of it?
Sure. There's a lot of history that goes in behind it, but what the You First Movement is an inspired action that I was following. I've worked with lots of women and helping them, you know, learn how to put themselves first. When we hold ourselves back, I think that we also hold back our gifts, and we all need each other. And my role is really to support women in shifting their priorities so that they're putting themselves first, because that's what really allows them to bring their gifts into the world. And so I was inspired and followed this inspiration within minutes of when I had it to create an interview series. And it's evolved into this You First Movement, doing just that, interviewing women who have made that decision and shifted from putting everybody else first in their lives to putting themselves first. And I've been interviewing women from around the world on Skype. It's been extraordinary. There are some amazing women out there. And what I'm learning is that there are some universal things that that we kind of go through as women, and some ways that I'm learning some wisdom that I hope to share with everyone, any woman who's in this position, to kind of encourage her to make this shift. And it's a simple shift, but not necessarily an easy thing to do to incorporate into our lives, especially if we're kind of swimming upstream against this current of collective thought that we have. I was raised this way, that women always put everybody first. We're such amazing caregivers, and we're so flexible, nurturing. There's just amazing qualities we have. But what I'm learning is that we shower those on everyone else around us, but when we forget to include ourselves in that equation, we end up depleting ourselves. And then it's kind of a downhill road there. And so this You First movement is in a series of interviews to encourage women to make that shift. And eventually I'd like to compile all the wisdom that is shared into something that can help women. I don't know what that's going to look like yet, but that's the intention.
Oops, I'm on mute. I was going to say, you know, I experienced this firsthand with you. Can I just share a little, Christy, about,
sure,
you know, what I was, Christy and I have a weekly accountability because we're both visionaries and we're both working on, you know, these projects that are near and dear to our heart. And I was talking to Christy and she was, you know, I was listening to her talk about this project and I thought, well, that's not me. You know, I'm self-fulfilled. That doesn't apply to me. And I bring this up because I think there's probably a lot of like type A women who have masculine qualities in, for say, you know, running a business, for example, where we think that, you know, we're taking care of ourselves because we get our hair cut regularly or maybe we get our nails done. So I thought, well, those kind of women are the women that, you know, they just don't do anything for themselves. And what I learned in working with Christy, who after a couple meetings pointed out to me that, you know, basically she said, Joy, it sounds like you're running on fumes. And I realized that what she was talking about in giving yourself to others and not putting yourself first, you can do it in so many different ways. It's not just, you know, the homemaker. It's not just what you would consider to be, you know, your feminine qualities. It can also be in your business relationships as well.
Yes, absolutely.
And I think that you are helping, you know, make a powerful shift for all kinds of women in kind of breaking out of that stereotypical mold.
Yes, yes. Have you heard the quote, the world will be saved by the Western woman, Dalai Lama?
Yes.
And I believe that, like, in my heart of hearts. And my interpretation of that is that, you know, women are, I mean, we're powerhouses, and we're, like, the world's largest untapped resource. And yet, many times, we end up, you know, we have these limitations that we put on ourselves because we want to make sure that those around us are happy. You know, we want to make sure that our kids are happy, our partners are happy, that our friends. And sometimes we get into a habit, almost like a rut, of just doing that without really stopping. And you know what I know you guys teach. Stopping and meditating first thing in the morning and starting your morning by filling yourself first and by doing really kind, even just simple and symbolic acts that remind you that you are your priority and you are, you know, first and foremost, it's the gift that you've been given of life, to honor that through self-care and to honor that through noticing when your body says yes and when your body says no, and lining your life up so that you're able to be the highest and best that you can be. That's kind of what I'm advocating.
Yeah, it's funny because I'm sitting here in a friend, and actually another one of our team members' house, and as you're talking, she's nodding her head really big. Yes, Christy, I wish you could see her. You know, like, I think all women, you know, just can relate to that because, you know, yeah, while she's doing the dishes, because, you know, it is, I think, a feminine, And I don't want to say that it's only women, because I watch my husband do it too. He's very mm-hmm. good at putting others first. And, mm-hmm. you know, and sometimes, and I think what would be really cool is if we could get to a place where we could notice when others, like you did for me, are running on fumes and say, mm-hmm. you know, hey, you know, it's time to, you know, love on yourself a little bit.
Yes, yes. And in fact, that's often the clients that I work with. Often it almost takes getting to that point of either overwhelm or, you know, maybe it's a breakup of a relationship, and then, you know, you discover that you've invested so much in this other person and you've left very little for yourself. Or you've got a health crisis and you realize that you've depleted yourself in your energy reserves and you've really got to take care of yourself, or you're overwhelmed and you just have to do something. Those are like key times when I find people find me. And if we could, you know, help each other maybe recognize those signals before it gets to a crisis point, that would be awesome.
And when it does get to a crisis point, do you have, like, is there a process that you walk people through? Is it more, you know, like, can you just explain to us a little bit about what your coaching is all about?
That was exactly sure. my question. how do we do that?
Yeah, so I actually have to give a nod here to Adironda, because if it weren't for Adironda, I'm not sure that I would have followed this this approach. But for years, I would meet in either private or group sessions, and I would always ask, you know, what is my calling? You know, what am I here to do? And Adironda always replied with the same response, and it was, well, what do you like doing? What feels good to you? And I could never get a different answer. And so I finally kind of just was like, okay, I guess I got to figure this out on my own. And I so appreciate that, because that's actually the way that I lead the courses, and also the one-to-one mentoring that I do. It's all about leading a person back to themselves.
Right.
Leading a person back to them. And, you know, it's so easy for us to look outside and say, oh, joy, you know, it looks like you're running on fumes. But that same skill of detecting that joy, you're running on fumes, can be directed inwardly. And we can recognize ourselves, oh, I'm running on fumes. Oh, my voice feels a little shaky. Oh, wow. I need to stop and rest. I need to go do something different. And so everything that we do in the course or in mentoring work is all about leading a person back to themselves. So we have exercises, experiences, videos, things like that. But everything that's an external stimulation, it always comes back to, how do you feel? What is your body saying? And so it's a kind of a reconnective process, and it retrains your focus so that you can, you know, be in alignment in the moment. And when someone says, hey, can you babysit on Friday night? And your body, you know, your gut clenches, then the words out of your mouth are, I would love to, and I have other plans, if your gut clenches. Or if it just, you feel all juiced, you're like, of course. So that you're recognizing the signals. It's almost as if your body knows your answer before you're consciously aware of it. And when you tune into your body, you're able to come up with more confident decisions, and it's there. That's your, you know, part of your intuition, your guidance system.
Yeah.
Does that answer your question?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. That's a great answer.
And I think when you said Adironda always turns it back to you, what's your joy? What do you love doing? It is about going within and really asking yourself, well, what is it that you love, and how do you carve that space out? And even memorizing the phrase, thank you very much for the opportunity, I have other plans.
Yeah.
That's a great one.
Yeah, and you know, I find that symbolically, so when we go through a course, you know, I ask for the homework, the daily homework, to be done first thing in the morning, even before anybody else gets up, so that symbolically you wake up and you are putting yourself first. You're actually, you know, doing those things that are for you first. And that, it just works that way. It's almost as if when we put others first, it's like putting the end of a train, the caboose first, and expecting it to be really easy. When we put ourselves first, we're like the engine. And when we fill ourselves up, then we have all the energy that we need for ourselves. And then we have energy that overspills, and we can carry, you know, our train of responsibilities or our you know, the things that we want to bring out into the world. It's just, it doesn't really work the other way so well.
And one of the things that that I also learned from you, you know, in that coaching session that you did with me, was that what works for you may not work for other people. Or let me rephrase that. What works for other people may be different from you, because remember, I had been triggered by trying to set up my schedule on an hourly basis. You know, where I was going to put myself in for an hour, and it just totally triggered me. It's like the universe kept throwing it out as impossible. And, you know, and then when you helped me lean in and feel with my body to go back to a point, you know, of things that I really enjoy doing, I realized that I was better off just having one day of doing what I love and working the rest of the time.
Absolutely. There's a term, bioindividuality. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
So it's a term that's used by the Institute for Integrative Nutrition, and it basically says that each person is an individual, and there's no one solution for any person when it comes to nutrition, diet, anything. And to your point, Joy, there's no one solution that helps everybody. You've got to tune into yourself. You have, you know, each of us has to do that to know what is going to work for us. And we have to be willing to experiment to find out, you know, to get feedback.
Yeah. So, go ahead,
Mary. I have a question. You do private coaching, right?
Yes, I do private mentoring sessions, and I also have a class that I teach, and interviews that I do.
Excellent.
And you have a book that's coming up, Sabbatical from Saying Yes.
I do. I'm so excited about that.
Tell us a little bit about your book.
Sure. So the book is the section that I think can help the most people. And it's a segment of the class that I've pulled out and developed into a small book. And the Sabbatical from Saying Yes is a kind of a 30-day period that you can take. It has a decision matrix where you can list all of the things you're involved in. And you go through and you actually assign a numerical value to evaluate these different areas of your life. And what you end up seeing is, wow, these are the things that really give me energy, or, oh, these are the things that really drain me. And there's a decision point where you make a decision of, I'm going to keep those things in my life, or I'm going to modify those things in my life, or I'm going to release those things. And I'm only going to do it for 30 days. And so for 30 days, we have some processes and a declaration of worth that that we read or develop if it doesn't resonate with you. And for 30 days, you practice the art of soulful living. You practice, you know, doing the things that give you energy. And so it kind of builds those muscles and the skill of focusing on yourself. And you get to feel what it's like to actually have life be that way. And it eliminates so much of the friction that we experience. And I don't think I've had anybody who's wanted to go back to the way things were after they've done their sabbatical. But, you know, that's always a choice. But it's just for 30 days, just to give you a taste. And then from there, you can decide, you know, how you want to proceed.
Yeah, I was going to ask if that has to do with, you know, creating a habit, the 30 days. You do it long enough that you really get a sense of it being a part of your life and you don't want to return to the way you were before.
Absolutely, yes.
Love that.
So now in your online, in your course, your 8-week course, I know people who have physically attended your course and they are changed forever. Your 8-week course in self-fulfillment, you first movement. And are you able to offer that online yet? Can we stand in line to get that course?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm in the process of transitioning it from a face-to-face course to a virtual course. And it's going to be available sometime this fall. I don't have a specific date yet. But it's a process of there's a lot that as I'm sure you can imagine, that goes into transferring it from a face-to-face course to a virtual format. But yes, it will be available.
Wonderful. And we can find out more information about you at your website, which is christydaniels.com. That's christydaniels.com, right?
That's it. Yes.
christydaniels.com. I love that. You first movement. You know, we do have so much of the time. We just want to make everybody else happy. That's part of our training, I think. So thank you so much for stepping up to the course. And well, I guess we'll thank Adaronda for nudging you to just find your joy.
Exactly. Thank you.
And Christy's going to be one of our visionary speakers at the Visionaries in Light Convergence in Mount Shasta. I'm assuming, maybe this is too early to say, but I'm assuming that course will probably be ready by then. What do you think?
Yes, I would be willing to place bets on that.
Good answer.
Well, thank you so much. Go ahead.
Thank you so much, Christy, for
Love
joining us. Yeah. It's kind of fun to be on the other side, huh?
It is. Thanks for the invitation.
And for all of our listeners that are also double-digit subscribers or do any of our webcasts or webinars or anything that we do online on air, Christy, this is the Christy that we are speaking of. So we are greatly indebted to you, Christy, and we certainly appreciate all your time and trouble and energy. And I can't wait to read your book, Sabbatical from Saying Yes. I think I need to put that into an intravenous spot and put it into my face to remind me of it.